Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
This is Jessica, and you're listening to the Asian Madness Podcast. Hi everyone, welcome back to the Asian Madness Podcast. Very lovely for you to drop by again. Hope you're all making the best of your year so far and staying healthy. Drink lots of water because that's good for you. If you've been a listener for a long time and you have once upon a time subscribed to my Patreon, then this episode might sound familiar to you, because although it's one episode today, it was actually a two-parter in my Patreon feed. I combined them to form one episode because it's never been released on my main feed, and I felt like this would be a good topic to discuss. I also spent some time touching up on the writing, and of course, re-recording everything. The two cases today are unrelated, but share various similarities. Collectively, they can be referred to as the Japan Sasebo School Girl Killings. The first incident we will discuss in this episode occurred in 2004, and the second one took place in 2014, and now it is 2024. As I previously mentioned, this is about violence that takes place between students. No guns involved, but other weapons can be just as deadly, depending on the situation. I believe that some of you may have already heard about these two cases, at least to some extent. To put it simply, children can do some crazy things, like steal candy, beat up other kids, or murder people their own age. What makes someone so young do something so horrific? Could it be the influence of movies, the internet, video games, or perhaps mental health issues? Before we dive in though, Japan does not release the names of minors who have committed crimes, as they most likely will be eventually released and are expected to lead a normal life. However, you can easily Google and find their real names online, if you are so inclined. We will start with the events from 2004. Let's begin. Our location for this episode takes place in the city of Sasebo, in the Nagasaki Prefecture of Japan. This city is about 1,200 kilometers to the west of Tokyo, pretty much on the western end of Japan. On June 1, 2004, something pretty unexpected and strange took place in Okubo Elementary School. 12-year-old Satomi would be lured into an empty classroom during her lunch break by one of her classmates, whom everyone just refers to simply as Girl A, because, you know, she's underage. It's unclear as to what happened or what they talked about, but there was no doubt that Girl A had one goal, and that was to kill her classmate. She went to meet Satomi with a box cutter, something we normally don't bring with us when we want to meet up with friends, and when both girls were alone in the classroom, Satomi was slashed on both her arms and her neck. She fell to the floor face down and began bleeding profusely. Girl A saw that her work was done and left the classroom, leaving Satomi to bleed on the floor, probably hoping for the worst. Girl A's clothes were blood-stained, but it was like she didn't even notice or care. And when the teacher on lunch duty couldn't find the two girls, she went looking for them. She eventually found Satomi lying unconscious on the floor of the empty classroom, with multiple cuts on her body, a deep one on her neck. The teacher immediately called for an ambulance, but when the paramedics arrived, Satomi was unresponsive and did not seem to have a heartbeat. She was eventually pronounced dead from the slash made to her neck. This crime was obviously beyond shocking. A child getting killed is bad, but knowing that another child was responsible for it was wild. Although there had been previous incidents where young teens have murdered others, it's quite rare to have a murderer not only be a girl, but also be this young. It was pretty clear who the perpetrator was for Satomi's murder, or at least who was involved. Blood was all over her clothing, and she was the only other student that was unaccounted for. Police took Girl A into custody and questioned her, probably with a guardian present since she was a minor. She immediately confessed to murdering her classmate and began to cry. It's almost like the childish side of her surfaced. When you know you've done something bad and the adults are now ready to reprimand you, so you cry. Or it could be a manipulative tactic. She initially could not explain why she attacked a friend, but later revealed that they had actually been good friends, but their friendship had soured over the past few weeks. What happened, you ask? According to Girl A, Satomi had begun making insulting and offensive comments about Girl A on the internet. It's 2004. The internet was already pretty common, though not as reliable as it is today. Satomi had reportedly called Girl A a goody-two-shoes, called her ugly, and the comment that really made her snap was when she commented on Girl A's weight. A lot of Asian cultures, I would say, are pretty familiar with this in some way, at least that I know of. It's very common to have Asians just randomly comment on each other's weight, whether it's losing or gaining. It's not necessarily an insult sometimes, but it's like people are hyper aware of this and they feel the need to point it out, as if we don't own any scales or mirrors or eyes. In this case, though, at least according to Girl A, it seemed like it was meant as an insult. Everyone reacts differently to nasty comments. To some, this might sound like nothing important and very trivial, but clearly not to Girl A. I also believe kids react differently, because at that age, your whole life is about school and friends. You want your friends to like you, and a friend being nasty to you is like the end of the world. Might sound dramatic to us adults, but most of us have probably been there, where we felt down over a troubled friendship, or even cried because some friend was weird or kind of mean. You usually don't develop that whatever attitude until you're way older. According to her lawyer, the last incident that pushed her over the edge took place only a few days before the murder, aka the weight comment. At around the same time this friendship drama was unfolding, Girl A had come across a murder mystery show, which gave her the idea to commit this crime. This also sparked a whole debate about violence in TV and video games, if they directly or indirectly cause people to commit violent crimes. More about this later, though. The internet is a strange place. We can express ourselves and be ourselves, but it's also where we can be overly irresponsible with your words and hurt people only because you're anonymous. It can bring out the best or the worst in people. Some have come out to say that Girl A was a very normal child up until the fifth grade, and it was around that time she started to become more quiet and withdrawn, refusing to look at people when she talked to them. She also seemed to have violent outbursts from time to time, but it was not seen as anything serious. Preteens and teens are known to be quite moody, so why would anyone think otherwise? The age for which a person could be criminally responsible for murder in Japan had been lowered in recent years from 16 to 14 because of a murder that occurred in 1997. Obviously, you can't go around lowering the age every time somebody younger kills someone. But this was a highly debated topic at the time. Mind you, Girl A was only 11 when she murdered Satomi. Think about that. What were you doing when you were 11? Sure, I was pissed off a lot, super moody, and I also happened to watch a lot of horror and crime movies. But I never really thought about killing anyone, let alone act on it. Clearly, this girl was troubled, and she needed help. She was always a well-adjusted and happy child, and the fact that things escalated like this indicated that there were major issues that were overlooked. About 3 months after the murder, in September of 2004, a Japanese family court ruled in favor of institutionalizing her to a reformatory for 2 years. It was later on extended for another 2 years. She was officially released from the reformatory and juvenile detention center in the year 2008. During her psych evaluation, she was diagnosed with Asperger's syndrome. Not saying that everybody with Asperger's is going down the same path, but it's what was stated. This diagnosis, though, caused some stigmatization around people on the spectrum, making it even more difficult for them to reach out and get the treatment they would need. People are unfamiliar with the concept of Asperger's, at least at that time, so hearing that she had been diagnosed, it made people fearful, largely due to ignorance. It is reported that Girl A is deeply remorseful for her actions, and when asked about it, she doesn't even understand why she did what she did. She explained that if she had more time to chill and think about it, she probably wouldn't have done it. There's a Chinese saying that goes, "Think three times before acting on something." This saying works in so many situations, like arguments, shopping, or rage killing. Very relatable. Honestly, writing episodes like these take a lot from me sometimes. I have to not only read, think, write, record, but also process a lot of terrible stuff that people do. I sometimes drown myself in coffee, but it doesn't always help. Also, not healthy. I know there are hundreds of articles out there about how to relax, how to focus, how to be productive. Depending on the person, it might or might not work. But what's been working for me lately is this thing called Magic Mind. As the name suggests, this is a mental performance shot that helps with mental clarity, ability to focus, staying motivated, and reduce your stress levels. I always find myself skeptical of these kind of products, but what's the harm in trying something new? I've committed to this booster for a week straight because I'm a routine kind of person. And let me tell you, my high-stress corporate job has gotten less stressful, and podcast work is also less taxing. It's not that I'm suddenly smarter. I just needed a little kick to manage my life better. All ingredients are 100% safe, tested multiple times with hundreds of scientific studies and doctors backing it. What's nice is that Magic Mind also donates to homeless communities with each bottle purchased. If you have been searching for something to help boost productivity, this could be it. I know many of you are not located in the US, so get this. They ship to over 65 countries worldwide, whether it's a one-time purchase just to try it out, or a subscription. They also have a 100% no-questions-asked refund policy, so that's a relief. They have a limited offer you can use now that gets you up to 48% off your first subscription or 20% off one-time purchases with code AsianMadness20 at checkout. You can claim it at magicmind.com/AsianMadness. Japan's school year begins and ends around spring of each year, and elementary school is first grade to sixth grade. In other words, this murder is basically an elementary school murder case, which sounds even more terrifying than young teens or middle schoolers. The class that both girls were in graduated in March of the following year, and the school had left a blank page in the yearbook for kids to put photos of Satomi. Both Girl A and Satomi were awarded their graduation certificate. So that's the first Sasebo schoolgirl murder case. But of course, there is a lot of side information from this case that you might find interesting. During the murder investigation and trial, a couple of Japanese male politicians made rather questionable and awkward comments regarding the crime. I emphasize male because it's relevant, not because I hate men. One made a comment saying that this murder was a manly act, and that this crime proves that women are just as capable as men. Quote, "Men have committed thoughtless, harsh acts, but I think this is the first for a girl. Recently, the difference between men and women is shrinking," unquote. This comment made this murder sound a lot more positive than it should be, as if we were discussing the wage gap between men and women. These comments angered women in Japan, saying that he was disrespectful and mocking, kind of like a little kid doing a aha, gotcha moment. Another interesting and weird thing about this case, a meme became very popular in Japan because of this murder, and the meme is called Nevada Tan. What does that mean? The most commonly seen photo of Girl A is of her wearing a sweatshirt with the words Nevada printed on it, as in, yes, Nevada the state. The word Chan is a diminutive suffix, usually used for little kids or girls, but the word Tan is a variant of that, which is just a more infantile version of Chan. Think of it as baby talk. In this case, we technically don't know Girl A's real name, so she became known as Nevada Tan. This is a weird meme, because it feels like people are glorifying Girl A. What's even more strange is that some people began creating fan art and cosplaying as Girl A, with a similar hairstyle and wearing a Nevada sweatshirt. Weird, I know. It was even reported that the Nevada sweatshirt was the best-selling item on the University of Nevada online store in 2005. You can Google images of Nevada Tan. I just don't think people are very sensitive, and even now when you look it up in forums, people still say they would wife Girl A and that she's very cute, etc. Aside from sounding a little pedo, it's just wrong. It feels like she's famous for all the wrong reasons. Have you guys ever heard of or seen the Japanese movie Battle Royale? I love that movie so much. I consider it a strange mix of Lord of the Flies and The Hunger Games. Here's a brief summary. A class is picked at random every year and they are sent off to a remote area where they wear a collar that could explode and kill them. The point is to kill each other off and the last one standing is the winner. The second Battle Royale movie was supposed to come out in DVD the week after the murder, but they decided to delay the release out of respect for the victim. It was also rumored that the first Battle Royale movie may have influenced Girl A, as it was supposedly one of her favorite movies. This is just a rumor, though. You know how people say violent movies and games can end up affecting kids and causing them to do unthinkable things. Do you think that's true? I know kids are impressionable, but is it that easy? This theory is called the game brain theory, and it discusses how the brain can be affected by video games. Most people don't really buy it, but it's out there. Girl A was into horror and the macabre, but I guess she could have gotten too immersed in that world and lost herself. There was also another theory behind Girl A's motives. Do you remember the urban legend called the Red Room? I covered this in episode 30. Go back and listen to it or look it up if you don't remember. Girl A was supposedly obsessed with this urban legend and even had it bookmarked in her browser. I mean, being into weird things is one thing. Crossing that line and acting on it is something else. If every horror fan started doing what they saw in movies, our society would probably be quite different. Lastly, a German band, initially called Panic with a K, changed their band name to Nevada Tan in 2008, but that only lasted a year and they changed it back to Panic, again with a K. It's said that they wanted to spread awareness of social issues among students. Interesting choice indeed. Mitarai Satomi was the youngest child in her family, with two older brothers. Her mother had passed away in 2001 due to illness, and now her father has to bury his youngest child. When he found out about his daughter's murder, he was calm enough to want to wait and hear what the other girl had to say, especially knowing that she was also just a child. He also admits that he worries for girl A's future. Don't we all? Satomi's brother was quoted as saying the following, quote, "There's no point in hating girl A." "I don't know, really. I'm just tired. Dad doesn't talk idly about revenge or anything either. In the end, I want her and me to live in the same community. I want to say, straighten up and live where I live," unquote. Honestly, this is a very forgiving viewpoint, as not only was your family member murdered, her killer also became some weird internet celebrity. As you recall me saying, Japan prefers to keep the names of juvenile perpetrators secret, just so they won't have to face too much difficulty when they are finally released. Even though she's referred to as Girl A, there is still a name floating around out there, and more or less recent photos of her. Girl A has a second chance at life to make things right, and to live a good life. But not Satomi. Let's remember her name, and although bullying is never a good idea, murder should never be the answer. Now, we move on to the second case that's also from the same region, something similar that took place 10 years later. These two cases are not connected, but are just collectively termed the Sasebo schoolgirl killings. This time, though, the people involved are a bit older, both 15. Still kids, though. But one thing is like the previous incident. Both the victim and the murderer are girls. The first case was definitely horrible, and unfortunately, it continues to get worse. The second case is called the Sasebo High School Girl Murder Case. These two girls were considered friends, or at least acquaintances. They graduated from the same junior high school earlier in the year 2014, and were now both in their first year of high school, which would make them 10th graders in the American school system. It's not completely clear as to how and what went down on Saturday night, but 15-year-old Matsuo Aiwa had left her home that Saturday afternoon, July 26, 2014, to meet up with an acquaintance. When she failed to return home that night, her parents called the police at around 11 p.m., reporting her missing. Police were on it straight away, checking with her close friends and looking into her phone activity, hoping it'll lead them to her. The police finally came to the conclusion that Aiwa was possibly still at her friend's house, so they go knocking at the friend's house early Sunday morning. The friend, whom we shall refer to as Girl B, answers the door. The police enter her apartment and find that indeed, Aiwa was there, except she was dead, lying on a bed on her back. I would say she was lying face up, but Aiwa had been decapitated. Her left hand was also cut off from the wrist, and her stomach was sliced open. The crime scene was extremely baffling, but definitely shocking enough for police to arrest Girl B on the spot, despite her being a minor. She was arrested in the early hours of July 27, which also happened to be Girl B's 16th birthday. What a way to celebrate your sweet 16. But what exactly happened? What made a 15-year-old not only murder her classmate, but also dismember her body? When she was taken into police custody, she pretty much immediately confessed to the murder. She explained that they were out the previous day shopping, and she had invited Aiwa to come to her house afterwards. Girl B was only 15, and she lived alone, so to kids that age, it probably seemed pretty cool, right? Unbeknownst to Aiwa, though, Girl B had already decided tonight was the night she would kill. She told police that she had wanted to kill someone for a very long time, and she wanted to dissect the body. She even stated that, quote, "I bought the tools by myself," unquote. Like it was some kind of accomplishment. There had been no argument, no negativity, no bullying or misunderstanding between the two girls. Girl B simply wanted to experience the act of killing, and Aiwa happened to be her convenient target. Girl B also told police how she committed the murder. Everything happened between 8 and 10 p.m. that night. She first used a blunt object to hit Aiwa over the head, probably to knock her out or to keep her from running away. After she was hit repeatedly over the head, Girl B used a rope of some sort to strangle her from behind. But of course, that was not enough to satisfy her curiosity, since she wanted to see what's inside a human body. Honestly, though, it's like 2014. Get a book, go online, or wait a few years and go to medical school. There's always a better way, and legal. Anyway, she then used her pre-bought tools, a saw, and hacked away at her friend's neck and wrist. This was consistent with what the police discovered at her apartment, where they found a saw and a hammer in her room. The hammer was possibly used to hit Iowa's head. There was also a rumor going around that Girl B had allegedly posted about her murder as it was happening on a Japanese forum called 2Channel, or 2chan, I guess. This forum is somewhat similar to the anonymous forum 4chan or Reddit, where users can post the weirdest shit and respond in the least classy way possible because it's all anonymous. As a side note, Nevada-tan was also hella popular on this same website, so you can kind of picture what type of content is available there. She had reportedly made posts saying things like, quote, "I ended up killing," unquote, and shared several strange photos and the details of her killing. Another post said, quote, "Oh no, blood keeps pouring out even though I have wiped it away many times," unquote. Another states, quote, "I've tried to warm the body as it got cold, but it doesn't warm up. Everyone, do you know what color the brain is? I'll take good care of the brain and the spinal cord, putting them in a solution," unquote. Okay, I have so many questions. Obviously, like I stated, these are alleged posts. The original post, if it existed at all, had all been deleted straight away, so it's difficult to say. This girl clearly has no idea how the human body works, and I highly doubt she had any solution to keep the brain and the spinal cord in. If it isn't obvious to everybody, this girl needed help. Both the victim and Girl B's families were devastated. Girl B's father was absolutely heartbroken over his daughter's actions and apologized to the Matsuo family. He said that his daughter's actions, quote, "can never be forgiven for any reason or cause," unquote. Of course, having your child randomly murdered just for fun is terrible, and sometimes it's not something you can control. Parents can't oversee their kids' actions or thoughts, but in some ways, this murder could maybe have been prevented. It's also kind of reassuring to see that this father actually condemned his child's actions. Sometimes you see parents defend their children for terrible acts simply because they're their kids. I get it. People want to protect those that they love, especially their children. But wrong is wrong, right? Although you may trust them to make the right decision, can you trust others not to harm them? This is probably a good time to dive into Girl B's life. And once you hear more about her life, it's not going to make all the sense in the world, but it will help you understand the situation a little better. Girl B was said to have been troubled even at a young age. She always had an interest in anatomy and things that were more or less morbid. If this is starting to sound like you, don't worry. This is probably and hopefully where the similarities end. When she was in elementary school, she was said to have laced the school lunch with some kind of bleaching agent, shoe polish, or other chemicals. Not once, but multiple times. I mean, that alone is very alarming. Normal kids don't go around trying to poison their classmates, nor do they even think about it. Thankfully, no one died from that, but it probably allowed her to continue down this path of morbid curiosity. In October of 2013, Girl B's mother passed away from cancer, and her father had quickly remarried early the following year, 2014. Girl B began to miss a lot of school after her mother's death. Her father getting remarried so quickly may or may not have made a negative impact on Girl B, because on March 2nd, 2014, she had picked up a metal bat and attacked her father with it while he slept. She was reported to the authorities, but instead of doing anything to help her or find out what was wrong, her father and stepmother decided to help her get her own apartment and move her out of their house so she can live alone. This is just reckless and kind of difficult to understand. The girl tried to kill her own father, for Pete's sake, and their response is to get her own apartment? I mean, she needs help, not money or her own place. This kind of sounds like they're scared of her, so they want to keep her away from them. Basically, they're abandoning her, after she had just lost her mother. Girl B had also revealed to her stepmother once that she had killed and dissected various small animals, but found it rather dissatisfying. I believe a combination of all the occurrences above finally raised some alarm bells. So the parents contacted doctors in psychiatric facilities, hoping that they could schedule an appointment to find out if Girl B needed any help, which we can agree she definitely did. Unfortunately, she never received the help that she needed. It was said that a psychiatrist that had examined Girl B contacted a child consultation center in the Nagasaki prefecture, warning them that this girl will eventually end up killing someone if they don't treat her. Girl B was supposed to go for an appointment at the hospital on July 25th, literally one day before the incident. But her appointment was rescheduled to the 28th. And well, things got out of hand. Too little was done, and just a little too late. Girl B was even getting ready to head out to study abroad in Australia later that year, but obviously that did not happen. After her confession, Girl B was sent to a medical facility to undergo psychological evaluation so they could determine her state of mind. Finally, a year after the murder, the Nagasaki District Court decided that Girl B will not be tried in a criminal court and will instead be sent to a medical reformatory. Although she will not be tried in a criminal court, she was still found to be criminally responsible. Her internet search history prior to the murder showed that she was concerned with laws regarding juvenile crimes, and the fact that her murder weapons were all bought beforehand shows that the murder was 100% premeditated, and she had it all planned out. It was a terrible plan, but in her mind, it was a plan. She also showed no remorse, nor was she ever apologetic about her actions. As for Girl B's father, he stated the following after his daughter was arrested for murder. Quote, "My daughter's act can never be forgiven for any reason or cause. Iowa had no time to experience the joy and happiness of life. When I think of the shock and sorrow felt by the bereaved family, it breaks my heart. I can't find the words for an apology." Unquote. He could no longer take the pressure and the shame of his daughter's actions. He took his own life on October 5, 2014, just a few months after the murder. If you recall my episode about Japan's suicide culture, this is probably expected and not that surprising. Almost like the father's way of apologizing to society and to the Matsuo family. Girl B was said to have shown distress over her father's death, but none whatsoever when asked about Matsuo Aiwa. The Child Consultation Center was also found guilty for not handling the situation accordingly and promptly, which could have maybe changed the outcome of this entire case. Or maybe this case would never have existed. Who knows? The city of Sasebo was probably still getting over the previous murder from 10 years ago, and suddenly, almost exactly 10 years later, another student on student crime is committed, except this time with more intent and no remorse. Matsuo Aiwa's wake was held one day after her body was discovered. Many people showed up, including her family and her classmates. Her parents broke down when Aiwa's classmates offered their condolences, and Aiwa's father only asked for them to keep the memory of his daughter in their hearts. Aiwa was known to be a positive and kind person, and as it usually goes, no one expected her to die so young and in such a brutal manner at the hands of someone also that young. Her parents provided a statement on their daughter's death, stating, quote, "We cannot bring ourselves to face the incident, as it struck us so suddenly. Aiwa was our treasure and we had raised her with love. We now only hope to calmly send her off, unquote. As you already know, Japan likes to keep names of those juveniles anonymous as they are expected to be freed sometime later. But again, if you search hard enough, you will find her name and photos of her. So there you have it. Two murders that involve kids, sharing similarities and from the same area. I know 15 is more like a teenager, but at my age and according to the law, they're still kids. It's extremely unfortunate that so little was done, and even when it was brought to the attention of the professionals, it was not taken seriously at all. Japan's crime rate is still relatively low, but man, they have some of the worst crimes. I've mentioned this before, but mental health is still something that really needs to be addressed and discussed more in Asia. I can absolutely imagine schools and parents dismissing this as kids being kids or teens being teens. Where do you draw the line, though? How serious does it have to get for someone to take action? Could those two murders have been prevented? It's hard to say, and since it's all in hindsight, it doesn't matter what we think. Everyone's situation is different, but if we notice something is off, we should probably be more cautious and not wait till something irreversible happens. I'm not asking you all to become crime fighters, like, just, you know, be kind, be alert. Maybe that random hello or that random act of kindness could help brighten someone's day. But also, it doesn't hurt to be careful. There is another Chinese saying that's roughly translated to, you must not have the intention of harming others, but you must have the intention of guarding against others. It's a bit contradictory, but that's only because we never know what others are thinking. Let me know what you guys think, though. I'm always interested in your thoughts. Before I go, don't forget to check out Magic Mind, as they have a limited offer you can use that gets you up to 48% off your first subscription or 20% off one-time purchases with code AsianMadness20 at checkout. Claim it at magicmind.com/AsianMadness. Thank you again for tuning in. Remember to stay safe, and till next time.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.